Hey, what's up?
It's me, it's Vince, it's Atomic Radio Hour.
I'm not sure what the episode is. This is what we like to call a burner around these parts. What essentially a burner is an episode that I record ahead of time for when I have some things that are going on, and I have some things going on. I'm doing something very important to me, and I'll be back soon to tell you all about it, and I can't wait to tell you all about it. You look fantastic, as usual. So good to see you. We do have someone in the audience tonight. I would like to thank real quick Marcus, who's here. I did a little quick surprise stream for the Discord for those who were in the Film Live for a Studio audience tier. Thank you for being here. Today's episode is something a little different, something I haven't done in a really long time. I think the last time I did this was like I kid you not when I say like 100 and some odd episodes ago. Maybe closer to 200 episodes ago. And I can't wait to tell you about it. Thank you for being here, Marcus. It's a pleasure to be here. If you want to be here live and in the flesh like Marcus, check out the Patreon link in the description below. There will be a commercial for it at some point during this episode. But what I've done in the past is something that I really liked. We used to do it as a third segment, but I think it's going to slowly transition to one of these burner type things because I have a couple of them. If you know me, if you've watched the show before, you probably know my friend Kyle, one of my best friends, someone who I love dearly, truly. And Kyle is a curator of a museum, as far as I'm concerned. Kyle has everything. He has games, he has game memorabilia, shirts, hats, pants, socks, clothes of all types of varieties. Kyle loves the art that is video games, videos James, and what Kyle still has a large collection of is Game Informer magazines. And I've done these in the past where I've talked about things. I have a couple of them on my Fallout shelf here. Like, I have the one that talks about Fallout 3. I believe I have the one that talks about New Vegas. I'm looking for the one that has the Arkham City cover, but this issue of Game Informer is from December of 2010, and what is special about this magazine is that this is the top 30 characters that defined the decade from 2000 to 2010. I agree with some of it. I disagree with some of it. I feel like there's some characters that should have been mentioned. There are some honorable mentions. I will be going through all 30 of them, but I will not be going into detail on every single one. I'll go into detail on about half of them. The last five are the ones that I really, really, really want to talk about. But let's start with the honorable mentions. Or is this classified characters who miss their mark? It's not really given a true definition of what makes the characters great. I'm assuming this is just all opinion based, or what impact they had culturally. For this, it says the 30 characters who defined a decade right here. I should have screen grabs on screen of some of these, if not all of them. Last decade has ushered a new era of video game storytelling. As a generation of game designers who cut their teeth in the 80s and 90s began to reach maturity, consoles like the 360 and the PS3 gave them an unprecedented level of processing power in which to create. The result was an explosion of creativity unlike anything we've seen in video game history. After the years of being unfavorably compared to Hollywood, suddenly games are able to tell stories as deep and complex as their celluloid rivals. Dyslexia is a hell of a drug. With next-gen graphics that enable developers to tap into subtle communication of body language, game characters can emote in a way that was unthinkable just a decade ago. For increasing focus on strong writing has given these digital actors scripts filled with nuance. As we go along on amazing journeys with a new generation of gaming icons, we're often touched by the joy, pain, and regret they experience. With all due respect to the heroes that help build the industry into what it is today, modern games have the best, most fully realized characters we've ever seen. In the following pages, Game Informer celebrates these virtual personalities. Whether it's the troubled, ambivalent Nico Bellic from Grand Theft Auto 4 or the silent, enigmatic, it's always a hard one for me, Wanderer from Shadow of the Colossus, today's games offer an amazing variety of intriguing characters. The list is our attempt to pay tribute to the 30 characters that have defined the decade, this decade being defined as 2000 to 2010, which is actually 11 years, but who's counting? as you might expect, it's every bit as diverse as the games we play, right? So, I thought this was interesting because I like to know where we were a decade ago. There's a lot of words we said a decade ago, 2 decades ago, that we can't say anymore, and I think that's very interesting. Not because I'm upset that, oh, they took away my word. I think it's interesting that we grow and we change as people. Let's start with the characters who missed their mark. First off, we have... I'm not going to go super into them, but I want to bring light to them. Dante from Devil May Cry... Michael Thornton from Alpha Protocol, which is wild because I've never heard anybody say anything nice about, which we'll come back to in a second, but I've never heard anybody say anything nice about a David Cage game. The Rookie from Halo 3 ODST, Tingle from The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, and my personal favorite, Shadow the Hedgehog, which we should talk about Shadow the Hedgehog more, but we don't. And we should change that. At number 30, we have The King of the Cosmos, which I think is really interesting because Katamari is a game that I was enamored with the first time I saw it because it just seemed fun for the sake of fun. You're just rolling up a ball, growing things, and getting things bigger. And when I finally played it, I didn't realize that there was a time limit. I still like the Katamari games, but they weren't what I exactly expected. And I think it's very fun that... this being 2000 to 2010, we get that gap of PS2 into the 360. You know, the PS2 came out in, oh geez, I want to say 2000, 2001, around that era, because I know San Andreas, probably the top third best PlayStation 2 game, came out, I believe, 04. So I think it's crazy that a PS2 character could be so highly represented on this. And then right after that at 29 is Bonnie McFarlane from Red Dead Redemption. And I prefer the first Red Dead Redemption. I was going to say the first Red Dead game, but it's the first Red Dead Redemption. I prefer that one. I understand why Bonnie is important. She gets you introduced to the world, and she kind of teaches you the rules, the laws. She also has a great story about a lover who is long lost, and her father, and trying to take care of him, and the barn fire. I think it's interesting that she's on it to begin with, but I like her inclusion on this list. There's also Phoenix Wright from the Ace Attorney series, Professor Layton from the Professor Layton series, K.O.S. Cosmos, K.O.S.M.O.S. from the Xenosaga series. I know nothing of these. Cosmos made look like a 17-year-old girl, and I'm out. And that's all I had to read, because Jade from Beyond Good and Evil. Beyond Good and Evil is a game that I've really never heard anything bad about. I believe its sequel has been in purgatory for as long as the first game has existed. I own it on Steam. I've just never played it. Also, Kayum Aragonar from Lost Odyssey. I've never even heard of Lost Odyssey until as far as I know, I might have seen it and just don't realize it. I don't know who this character is. Not for me. Number 22 is Rasputin Aquato from Psychonauts, and this is one that I do want to talk about. Psychonauts is a game that I didn't play till I was much older, and it is a game that is brimming with character. It's just so special. Like, I have no other way to put it. It's a special experience. Like, everybody should play Psychonauts at least once. And the thing about Psychonauts is when you play it, you play it for the story, of course, but you have to go and do all the little stuff that's also there that no one tells you to do. Like, go explore the camp, go talk to the kids, go see what else is going on in the overworld, and then go back and do it. I love Psychonauts. I have a very soft spot in my heart for Psychonauts. Man, it sucks the hand that game was dealt. And I think it's crazy that this is from 2000 to 2010, and then in the 2020s, we got Psychonauts 2, which is just as good of an experience. At number 20, we have Tim from Braid. And I want to bring this up because I've never heard a single person say a bad thing about Braid. It's like Fez. Braid and Fez, in my memory at least, came out at the same time. And I never heard anybody say anything bad about them. I think Braid might have had something to do with Imagine Dragons at one point in time, so it loses a couple points in my books. And the creator of Fez, as far as I remember, is an awful human. All of that being said, it's wild that in this era, an indie game is so high. And I don't mean like a Psychonauts indie game. This was an Xbox Live arcade game, as far as I remember. And I've never played it. And this game has been free numerous times because it's over a decade old at this point, and I've still yet to play it. At number 21, we have Aeron, A-U-R-O-N from Final Fantasy X. Final Fantasy's never done anything for me. I have the boss from Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater. I'm never playing a Metal Gear game. And this is a character I wanted to talk about because I'm never playing a Metal Gear game. I don't enjoy Kojima. I've never played anything Kojima that wasn't PT. I really want to try Death Stranding, but the idea of Kojima being this character who is so hard to follow and so this and so that, and he created his own mythos and all this, and it's, I don't care. Like, are his games good? Like, every time I ask somebody, why do you like the games? It's a 40-minute explanation, and I never feel like I'm actually given an answer. I'm given a, well, no, you got to just play it for 10 hours before it kicks in. It's not for me. Number 18, we have Tommy Vercetti from Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which is wild to me. Absolutely wild to me, because I think CJ is a character that I like more, but I also identify more with that era than I do with the coke-fueled 80s. Also here, I don't know how I forgot to bring this up before, they have honorable mentions for places to be remembered. They have Rapture from Bioshock, Renaissance Italy from Assassin's Creed 2, Liberty City from GTA 4, The Capital Wasteland from Fallout 3, hell yeah, a baby, and Arkham Asylum from Batman Arkham Asylum. And number 17, we have the Elusive Man from Mass Effect 2. Still haven't beaten Mass Effect 1, still need to play Mass Effect 2 and then Mass Effect 3. Elena Fisher from the Uncharted series, which I'm really surprised she's here, to be honest, because at this point, I'm not sure how many Uncharted games were out. Maybe two of them. Maybe just the first one. But I don't remember her being that big of a character, even up until the second one. Like, she's there. I really do got to go back and replay. I really should replay all of the Uncharted games. But I think it's crazy that she's on the back end of half for 30. And number 15, we have HK-47 from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. A game I really want to play. I really fell into Star Wars this year. I really became a fan. I've talked about it, so I won't go too deeply into it. But growing up, there was a lot of shame around being a fan of Star Wars. And this year, I've kind of allowed myself to get into it. That, comic books. I've kind of allowed my inner child to go do the things he wanted to do when he was a kid and didn't get the chance to. That being said, HK is a character that I know about even before I knew anything about KOTOR. And I need to play this game at some point in time. And number 14, we have Captain John Pierce, which is wild because this is from Call of Duty in the Call of Duty series. It doesn't even give him a certain game. It's just the Call of Duty series. And at this point in time, this is when Call of Duty was really starting to become the multiplayer giant. It wasn't just Halo anymore. It was Halo and Call of Duty. And I feel like, you know, you bought a PlayStation for Call of Duty and you bought an Xbox for Halo in the PS3 360 era. And the fact that a Call of Duty character is on this list for a great character to me is fantastic. It's nuts. And it's nuts in a good way, because that means that we can actually watch in real time the industry change and see how Call of Duty, like the newest Call of Duty, Black Ops 6, just came out. My brother was telling me about it. He's not even going to touch the story. He just bought it for the multiplayer. Number 13, my boy. The only time I ever want to go back to school is when I get to see my friend one Jimmy Hopkins. I love the bully games. I also want to point out how many times Rockstar characters show up. So far, we have Bonnie McFarlane, Tommy Vercetti, and now we have Jimmy Hopkins. Yeah, Bonnie's right here. She was at 29. We just saw Tommy Vercetti at 18 and Jimmy Hopkins. Bully's a game that you could show your girlfriend, and I think your girlfriend would really like it. I was having a conversation with a friend recently about what games can you show your significant other. And, you know, I said Minecraft and Stardew Valley and It Takes Two. And, you know, even something like Hitman you could probably play if your girlfriend has, or your significant other, your partner, what have you, your they-them friend has something that, like, if they have a morbid sense of humor and they don't mind seeing people die and they understand that the Hitman games are just a chess game, then there's a strong possibility that they will enjoy them and they'll enjoy watching them with you. Bully's one of those games. It's story-driven. You can just play it. You can choose to do other things. It's, at the end of the day, it has a great story. I love the Bully games. if any Rockstar game needs a remake, remaster, and or a sequel, it's Bully. At number 12, we have Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect series. Again, still playing through it. I'm playing as FemShep, so I don't feel like my thoughts, feelings really apply here because of that. Ethan Mars from Heavy Rain comes in at 11, which again is wild because I've never heard anything good about a David Cage game. Down at the bottom, they have some things that are good for a laugh, some funny characters. Fawful from Mario and Luigi, Claptrap from Borderlands, Brucey from GTA 4, and Isaac Washington from House of the Dead Overkill. Some more characters that didn't quite make the mark, but are here as honorable mentions. Number 10, this one's for you, Kyle. Ezio Auditore de Firenze. I didn't know if when they made this, they knew that Ezio was going to dominate for like four games. Ezio is a character that I think is a fine character, but also I always am a little upset that we don't get to see much about Altair, because I like Altair, but I feel like we never really get to see anything about him, which I think is interesting. And I haven't played the games really. I played one, I played two. I kind of dipped out until Black Flag. So maybe there's something about Altair in there that I just don't know of. But Ezio, of course, I feel like was the character that most people knew the Assassin's Creed franchise for. At number 9, we have Longhan Mactir from Dragon Age Origins. And then at number 8, we have Andrew Ryan from BioShock. And remember this placement. Andrew Ryan is a character that I remember the first time I played BioShock. I'm not going to spoil it, but what happens with him, I remember being like, oh, wow, that's fantastic. BioShock is still a game that I don't like. And it's not that I don't like it because I think it's bad. I've played through it a couple of times and it never does anything for me. I try to read all the things. I try to take my time. Kyle always tells me about the shotgun scene when you first get the shotgun, and it's good. I'm not saying that it's not. It's just something about it doesn't speak to me the way it speaks to everybody else. But I understand the impact that BioShock has had, and I understand why Andrew Ryan is at number 8. At number 7, we have Kratos from God of War. And I wonder if God of War had taken this series in the direction that it's gone now, if Kratos would be higher on the list, because this is ancient Greek myth Kratos. This is rip a god's head off and shove it down the guy's ass Kratos. This is I'm angry at everything Kratos. This isn't remorseful, somber, slow Kratos. This is a different beast entirely. Before we get into the top 6, we have Style Over Substance, Bayonetta from Bayonetta, some characters that were, you know, more honorable mentions, and they're being acknowledged for what the game looks like. Bayonetta, Amaterasu from Okami, a game that I still need to go back and play. I own physically, but I gotta put the time and the work in. Travis Touchdown from No More Heroes, Isaac from Dead Space, and Faith from Mirror's Edge. At number 6, we have Alex Vance from Half-Life 2, and the top 5, the big 5, the 5 characters that defined 2000 to 2010, I think are almost all perfect choices. At number 5, we have everybody's cousin, Niko Bellic. Recently, this year, I finished, it was early in the year, like January, like beginning of January, middle of January, I finished GTA 4 again with my friend Alex. We're both big Grand Theft Auto guys, and we both think that GTA 4 is the best one. Niko is such a character. I was surprised that Carl Johnson, CJ, isn't on this list, but anyways, Niko is a much better character. The struggle that Niko goes through, Carl could have been anybody from Grove Street. He could have been anybody from any of the territories, be they Grove, be they families, be they Bala. Niko is a special story. Niko came to this country. He's trying to figure things out. Niko is special. Niko is really special. Niko is one of those characters that I really, really love, and I think about a lot when I think about great characters. And at number 4, we have Master Chief. And I'm not going to say that Master Chief isn't a great character, but what I am going to say is that Master Chief is such an any character. And he's almost anonymous. You know what I mean? Like, we know his name is John. We know his number is 117. We know he can dual-wield pistols, but he's just such a soldier. Like, I feel like that's what he is. He just is what he is, and he is a soldier. And I think it's crazy that within 2000 to 2010, I believe we had all three Halo games. I think the first one came out in 2000 or 2001. That's a lot, man. That's a lot. So I understand why Master Chief is here. And also, the Xbox wouldn't exist without Master Chief, so it makes sense that he's here. Number three, we have Nathan Drake from the Uncharted series. And I was thinking a lot about why Nathan Drake is on this list. And honestly, if you really think about it, Nathan Drake was so ahead of his time because he feels like the first character for a game that the game was more based in theatrics. It was more, what are we going to do? How are we going to show this? We have these new capabilities. Like the intro said in the beginning, we have a way to be more cinematic. And I feel like Nathan Drake today, I don't think would stand up. Like, I don't think if they brought Nathan Drake into the equation, he'd even like show up to the debate because how far things have gone. I feel like anything that would have went to Nathan Drake at this point would go to The Last of Us. And I was thinking about it. How come Joel and Ellie aren't on this? And it's because they came out, I think 2012 or 2013 was the first time those games came out. Nathan Drake, again, absolutely deserved. I might have switched him around a little bit, though. And at number two, again, we talk about Rockstar. I believe five or six characters have been Rockstar characters. John Marston from Red Dead Redemption. I could talk about Red Dead Redemption all day. I actually had a conversation with a friend recently. We talked about Rockstar protagonists before I even had seen this book. And I made the argument that the top three, in no order, Rockstar protagonists are Niko Bellic, John Marston, Jimmy Hopkins. The story of John Marston, of just a man who's trying to turn his life around and get his family back, is beautiful and touching. And honestly, the older I get, the more and more I identify with it. It's a game that I can't wait to go back and play when I have a child. And knowing what John is going through, I could then experience all of the same thoughts, feelings, and emotions on an even deeper level, especially when you get the end of the game. I love Red Dead Redemption 2, or excuse me, Red Dead Redemption 1. Red Dead Redemption 2 is fine. I want to try it again, but I love the first Red Dead, and I think John Marston is absolutely deserved of the number two spot. Now, the number one spot, something that I didn't see coming, is GLaDOS from Portal. I won't sit here and lie to you. I've never played Portal 2. No, I lie. I played a little bit of Portal 2. I used to run a game club in my high school. We played it one day because it had co-op that was pretty decent, I remember. And you get to play as the tall, funny man from Ricky Gervais, the Ricky Gervais Show. I can't think of his name right now, but I get it. I remember when GLaDOS came out, when we found out the things about GLaDOS for the second game. I had a teacher, same woman who ran young Heather. If you've been around for a hot minute, you know, when she ran the club that I ran, she helped run it. She was absolutely crazy about Portal, and that's a very core memory about video games and getting older and realizing the video games were for everybody and not just for us kids. Is hearing my teacher, and now that I think about it, she was probably like my age that I am right now when the game came out. We were talking about it, and I understand why GLaDOS is there. Also, GLaDOS being there is not just important for Portal. It's a thing that got a lot of normies, a lot of people that didn't play video games, into games. And Portal, especially, I feel like holds a very special spot for a lot of very special people. And people wouldn't be playing video games today. I think there's probably a very large sect of people that watched somebody play Portal on a YouTube Let's Play, got a Steam account on a jank computer, downloaded Portal and Portal 2, and then are now big Minecraft people to this day. I can't prove this, but it's a thought I've had. Portal is a Minecraft. It is a Roblox. It is a game that has gotten people into gaming. And because it's a Steam game, because it's a Valve game, it kind of still looks pretty good. Like, it doesn't feel like it's gone into a different direction. It's a decent looking game, even up until this day. I hope you guys have enjoyed that. I love doing this. I want to do it again more. This book that I have, I'd like to dip into more at another point in time that isn't just for this top 10. You know, I could actually go through all of it and see all of it and talk about all of it. Right here, for some reason, I open up to a page and there's just Marcus from New Vegas. And Fallout 2, there's a bunch of stuff in here. I love looking at all the old advertisements. We could go through all of this together. It could be a lot of fun. If you like the show, the intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. The song is called Feather Duster, and you can get it at his website, silvermansounds.com/free music, where you can get all of his heaters. I would like to thank Marcus, who's been in the chat for both of tonight's secret recordings. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you for being here. If you like the show and you'd like to be in Marcus's shoes and get to watch these episodes get recorded live, check out the Patreon link in the description below. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you comment, do all the fun stuff. There's a link in the Twitter, excuse me, there's a link in the description to my Twitter, the show's Twitter, and Kyle's Twitter, as well as the Discord. Make sure you check that out. What else do I have to say? Thank you, guys. I'll be seeing you live and direct shortly. I'm in the middle of something very important to me, so I'll see you soon. I love you very, very much. Please take care of yourself, and I'll be seeing you in about a week or so. Bye.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.